Your Sparkle. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Your Sparkle. The Greeks had a word for it, genius, and we today have a word for the sparkle in you, genius. When we see an artist at work with doing some remarkable work, we say he's an artist and he's a genius. When we see a little child doing some exceptional work, we say they're a genius. No matter when we see anything exceptional, we like to call it a genius at work. Just what is a genius? Is everyone a genius? Can everyone be a genius? A genius is the little spark that's within you. The little spark that the Greeks called genius that is there, but it has to be titillated to be brought out. If we don't encourage the spark within us to express, it won't express. It'll just lie dormant and not pay attention to anything. Oh, we'll show little flares of our genius from time to time, but it will not be something that we'll use readily and use it often and use it significantly and use it to our benefit. We want to use our genius to our benefit. Now, what is the genius? The genius comes in many dimensions and many attitudes, but what is the genius? How do we express the genius? How do we know what the genius is within us? Do you have a genius to be an artist? Do you have a genius to be an auto mechanic? Do you have a genius to be a locksmith or a watchmaker? Do you have a genius to be a writer? Do you have a genius to be a singer? What kind of a genius do you have? Now, actually, we have a genius in all those areas. No matter what the area may be, we have a genius in it. Why is it then that we are not expressing that genius in all areas or in even any area? Well, the reason we're not expressing it is that we have not taken the time to demonstrate to ourselves that that is something that we really like to do. Now, liking to do it and being a genius are perhaps two different cups of tea, but they're really the same. Things that we like to do, we generally do quite well. And we generally do quite well things that we like to do. When we like to do something, we have a certain ease and a certain generousness about it from our inner consciousness. There's a certain attitude of, hey, this is fun. And when we think of something as being fun, we enter into it without any inhibitions or limitations. And we do it quite nicely. Now, little children like to finger paint. You know, why do they like to finger paint? Well, they like to get their fingers in the painty material. They like to smear it all over. They like to do things that they're told not to do. Well, in school, the teacher has children finger paint, and then the children do all sorts of designs with their finger paint. Now, a good teacher or a good friend never tells another person what they're painting. He always asks the other person what they're painting. Because quite likely you'll have it wrong. Quite likely you'll think that they're painting one thing when they're really painting in their heart something quite different. You say, oh, that looks like a tree. That's my daddy. Oh, that looks like a bug. That's a car. And you see, as you do these things, they don't seem to be what you expect them to be. But as you talk to the little children, and as you let them demonstrate to you what it is, they tell you things that are significant to them in life, in everyday activities. They tell you what's significant to them in a car. Well, this car has a large hood around it. It has a large circumference around it. And you think to yourself, well, what about windows? What about wheels and things like that? Well, the child is not thinking of any of those details. And they're just thinking of the vehicle, and they go into it, and when they get in it, then they're in this comfortable bug. And as you talk to them further, and you say, well, now, does it have wheels? Oh, yes. Where are they? Well, they're right here. And, of course, in the mind's eye of the child, the wheels were there. All the things were there that were supposed to be there, or that were there to any objective looker. But the thing is, the child did not necessarily put them into the picture because he had them already in his mind. Now, a genius does many things in their mind that are not necessarily seen on the outer. It's like many teachers who have geniuses in their class, and especially in algebra, and the teacher will say, okay, now do this quiz. Well, now the quiz always says, show how you arrive at your answer. Do each step on the paper and show how you achieve the answer you get. And the answer may be right, but the teacher wants to know that you know the process. So you write down the answers, and you're a genius, and you see it in your mind's eye. You see the process to the answer in your mind's eye. And you write down just the answers, and you write down 10 answers, and they're all correct, absolutely correct. And the teacher said, well, I have to see how you arrived at them. I have to see what technique you used. Well, now, quite likely the youngster did not use the technique the teacher wanted the youngster to use, because the youngster had an inner calculator, an inner system for arriving at the answers. And the youngster didn't have to go through all of the tedious forms of putting down the plus and minuses to achieve the goal. We are like this in life. But in our schools, in our teaching program, we say, I want to see how you arrived at that conclusion. I want to see how you achieved it. And the child is a genius and just arrives at that conclusion with his, so to speak, autistic accomplishment, and he doesn't necessarily write down how the answer achieved that point. Well, now the teacher, to think that the teacher is teaching anything and doing it accomplishing in a beneficial way, the teacher feels that the child must do it her way. Geniuses don't always do it our way. A genius may accomplish great achievements and great wonder and great magic. And there are many artists in this world who you would think that they had never gone to school, that they had never taken art training, because the art that they do is rather unusual, it's rather spectacular, it's rather colorful, it's rather without the old attitudes that the photographic attitude requires of an artist. Well, now, who says that the photographic attitude is required of an artist? If we do that, much of the art that is in the world today and has been for hundreds of years would be lost. Oh, yes, we immediately look at a painter who paints in a photographic type painting, and we think to ourselves, how lovely, how beautiful, how perfect. But there are things that are missing in that painting. There are things that are missing. When you take a photographic artist, and this artist is a true genius with taking pictures, and that artist will look at a tree, and he will see in that tree some aspect that we had missed. And he will see some turn of the branch or some turn of the leaf or something, and he will photograph that. And you will look at the picture and you will see how graphically correct it is. And you will miss what the artist wanted to show. But then the artist puts into the picture that branch or that leaf in such a manner that it becomes very obvious. It's standing out in front of all the rest of it. He has used his genius in in photography to achieve the goal that he wants. The painter, the musician, the writer, they all take a point and they work on it. Have you read a book, an entire book of several hundred pages? And in that book, it tells of 1 hour of a person's life, 1 hour, an entire book, or maybe just 2 or 3 minutes of a person's life. What's going on in that person's life? What's going on in their imagination? What's going on in their relationship to themselves and their world? What's going on? And as you begin to look into it and read the story and read the writing the author has written down, you say to yourself, wow, that's dynamic, that's forceful, that's powerful. What a great story. And then you stop and think and you say, for goodness sakes, that all took place in the period of 5 minutes. It seems unbelievable, but yet it was. And you were enchanted with the entire story, because the story had a way of presenting itself, especially through the mind of the author, a way of presenting itself that just delighted you and inspired you and uplifted you and caused you to cogitate very seriously on just what was going on in that author's mind, in that writer's mind, in that writing that you're reading, that represented only a short segment of time. Oh, there are other authors who can take 100 years and weave them into a beautiful pattern, a beautiful story. Others who can just take a day or a week or some period of time. It's not a matter of the time that's woven into the fabric of a story. It's a matter of what it is that is the content, what it is that is being said, how it's being said, with what impetus is being said. And then when you come to this, then you're walking in the field of the genius. You're walking in the person, I never realized you could think about one point so in depth. I never realized that you could think about something so completely translucent to me and everybody else, and yet to you, the opacity of it was just so definitely there. And as I read what you wrote, I see it's there too. But I had never really given it that much attention. A genius doesn't give attention to things. A genius just reveals that sparkle that is within him. And what is that sparkle within you? What is that sparkle that's within me? Do we allow it to be revealed? Or are we like the children who are forced to put wheels on their cars, who are forced to put faces on people? The children said, that's my mommy. Well, how do you know that? Well, I know that because that's my mommy. Oh, where are our eyes? Where is her nose? Where is her mouth? Oh, it's there. I see it. And the child sees it. Well, now, the teacher, the mother, or the parent, or whatever, are going to say, but you have to put eyes and nose and mouth in it. You have to do this. But I know they're there. I know they're there. I don't. Who am I doing this for? And little by little, as you allow yourself to let your genius have full sway with your expression, with the technique that you're using, you'll find that you do know a great deal more than you ever realize. That the genius, which is true in every person, that sparkle, which is within every person, just waiting to be revealed, is there now and always, and is a very exciting fact. We have to allow ourselves to not unlearn, but return to our original purity and integrity. We have to return to who we really are and how to express ourselves in a dynamic, beautiful way without feeling that we are causing ourselves to lose the treasure of seeing things that others cannot see. Can you hear the whisper of the wind in the trees? Can you hear its melody? Can you hear the song of the bird among the songs of many birds? And when you see your hummingbird feeder and you see the hummingbirds come to the feeder, do you watch the birds and do you listen to what they're saying to each other? Do you hear how they communicate with each other and how they claim dominion over their space as long as they're there? Do you see how little children play together and how the genius of the little children are expressed and how each one does not short-circuit or curtail the genius of the other merely because they're not following the normal practice of doing things in a certain way? How many times have you driven a truck through the sandbox and up and down the hills and over? What is that child thinking? Are they thinking they're really driving a real truck on a real road? They certainly are. And they're doing just that. And when they do things, are they having fun? Are they letting that sparkle inside of them shine? They surely are. The Greeks had the word for it, genius. And it's up to us to regain sight of that word. That word, genius, and sparkle within. That's how they defined it. They defined it as that little bit of information within us, awaiting to be revealed outwardly. We sit in awe of the autistic children who, or people who have abilities in certain areas, and they have no reason to have ability there. They just know that. They know things that they have no information that would tell them that these things are so. They can do certain mathematical problems. They can do many intricate things and in certain areas, but it doesn't mean that they're fantastic in all areas. Well, this is true for all who are a genius. They may be a genius in one or two areas, but they're not a rounded person in all areas. And we like to have people be rounded people in all areas, and we think that being a rounded person in all areas is more valuable than being a genius. And so we spend our time teaching ourselves and training ourselves to be socially acceptable, to be socially working together with one another. And in doing that, we feel that we are doing the proper thing. Well, genius will out. And those who allow their genius to flow beautifully, powerfully, wonderfully through their life experience, these are the people that we will hail as geniuses. Everyone is a genius. Everyone has that potential. But everyone doesn't turn their attention to that potential, that genius, and just let it be and let it flow. When we do, magic takes place in us. We feel good. We feel fulfilled. We feel we have accomplished what life is there for us to accomplish. To be ourselves and have fun. To be the genius that we are. To be the little glimmer, the little flicker of greatness, the little flicker of being unusual, being spectacular, being fantastic. I let my genius shine as much as I can. And to let it shine means I go contrary to oftentimes to what the world expects. But as I let my genius shine, I feel good. I feel I'm walking the pathway to heaven. I feel I am the pathway. I feel all is good and very good. Join me in that. It is lots of fun. Know that I see you, genius, right now. And I love you. I love you. I love you.